to this passage this evening. We come to 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1 to verse 27. Micaiah, a faithful prophet. Now, how do we measure a person's faithfulness? In what way do we say a person is faithful? Now, I put it to you that the true test of faithfulness is in stressful times. So if you want to know whether a person is faithful to the Lord or not, see how he behaves and what he thinks when he is under pressure, when he is in stress. Now, Micaiah proved himself faithful to God under tremendous stress. So we want to learn what he went through, what we may learn from his experience, and how we may be as he was. So there are a few things to note about Micaiah. What happened to him? First of all, Micaiah was isolated. Remember, at this time, King Ahab was the wicked king with his wife Jezebel in the north, in the northern nation of Israel. Judah, with two tribes, was ruled by Jehoshaphat, a good king. In many ways, the scripture itself says that he was a godly man. But the scripture does not hide the weaknesses of man, and the particular weakness of this otherwise good king is very, very sort of, in a sense, very significant in that it speaks to us of the need to be very careful with our own lives. Now, when he went to seek out fellowship with this man, Ahab threw a big fist for him and then put a question to him which he could not avoid, namely whether he would go and fight to get back Ramoth Gilead from the Syrians. Jehoshaphat could not answer any other way, and he had to say yes, and he said yes in very strong terms. He said yes in the words of chapter 18 verse 3 towards the end. He says, "I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in the war." So he sort of pledged himself to join with this wicked king, to go and fight against the Syrians. Now, what happened was that Jehoshaphat, because he was a godly man, felt uncomfortable when Ahab called together all the 400 prophets of Baal to ask of the Lord. So that was his idea of asking of the Lord. He called together his prophets. Who were his prophets? The prophets of Baal. And of course, the prophets of Baal had been fed by his wife Jezebel. He fed 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. And at this time, these prophets who were fed by his wife at the palace table would utter words that the king would like to hear, and sure enough, they said, "Go, you will win, sure to have victory." Jehoshaphat was uncomfortable and said, "Is there not a prophet of Jehovah left?" So Ahab says that there is still one man, but I don't like him because he always says negative things about me. You see now that King Ahab himself said there is only one man left. What happened to all the rest? We know that many were killed or banished, and 100 was kept secretly by Obadiah, the army general, in a cave. They were living in very dangerous times. Micaiah was the only one left who continued to preach, and most likely he ran and preached and then came back. And then when he saw that the king did not bother with him, he preached. And then whenever it got too hot and the king sent soldiers to arrest him, he would run and come back. Most likely that was something that happened. And we got an idea of it in a recent incident in Terengganu with this so-called Sky Kingdom sect. So there was this half-hearted attempt to wanted to arrest him. And finally, when things got too hot and the inconsistency of the authorities showed probably, so they decided to want to arrest him. See? But otherwise, it was like a cat and mouse game. And in this case, Micaiah was known to be still preaching, although others had been banished or killed. So Micaiah must have been preaching in a very difficult situation. So you see here that Micaiah was really the only voice that was still speaking in the midst of a dangerous times like that. See? And while all the other prophets were assembled before the two kings, and they spoke what the king of Israel wanted to hear, Micaiah was left alone to speak the truth. And when the messengers were sent to him, they warned him to speak what the king wanted to hear, just like all the other false prophets, verse 18. And you see now, given such a situation, what would you do? Micaiah really was an isolated man. He was the lone voice speaking in the wilderness. Now in such a situation today, many believers would lose their confidence. And indeed many preachers have been shaken. And if you really want to make a stand for the truth, there will come a time like this, and perhaps many times like this, when you ask yourself, perhaps I'm the one who is mistaken. Look at all the other pastors, they say different things. All the other preachers, they seem united. I'm alone in speaking something different. Perhaps I have misunderstood God's word. You see? And you know that isolation has a peculiar way of affecting you mentally, emotionally, psychologically. You see? You may feel strong in the Lord one moment, the next moment you feel deserted by the Lord. You feel deserted by God's people. You feel very much alone. You feel very depressed. And you find that there is no heart to want to go on. What is the point? What's the use? You see? Now this is where we must understand that it is important for us to seek out like-minded fellowship even though it's difficult. And when that is not possible, we have still one last recourse left to us, and that is keep a close walk with our God no matter what. Okay? Make sure that you do not allow the pressure of the situation to deprive you of time with the Lord. Make sure that you spend time in reading your Bible, in prayer, in sending out so-called arrow prayers up to God wherever you are, and setting aside that time that you have always set aside for the Lord without allowing that time to be taken away from you. Keep close to the Lord. Keep communion with God. Keep your quiet time with Him. Then secondly, Micaiah was despised. So he was isolated. He was despised. He was not respected as a prophet of the Lord. You see how people scorn him in such crude and violent ways. An example is to be seen in verse 23. Then Zedekiah the son of Chenaanah went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Which way did the spirit from the Jehovah go from me to speak to you?" You see. So here was a man who put on such a show that he was a prophet and challenged the true prophet Micaiah, and in public, in front of the kings and in front of everybody else, he went forward and slapped Micaiah and scornfully talked to him like that, you see. Now you can imagine what Micaiah had gone through. All these false prophets must have at other times uttered scornful words against him. They must have been trying to undermine his ministry in various ways. They must often have met in consultation with one another, and they would not discuss any other topic apart from saying negative things about Micaiah. Now they wanted to pass words indirectly to Micaiah to cause him to be depressed, to be shaken, to shake this man. And here they show what they have been doing all this while by being so bold and so violent. And look at the king. The king earlier in mentioning Micaiah, the king himself had despised Micaiah. Look at what he said to Jehoshaphat. There is verse 7. There is still one man by whom we may inquire of Jehovah, but I hate him because he never prophesied good concerning me. Always evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. See? So the king also speaks in such a childish way against Micaiah. And when Micaiah was threatened concerning the need for him to speak what the other prophet said, Micaiah did not succumb, but instead he became doubly bold, and we can imagine that there was a smile and a curl in his mouth. You see? You can see the smile there, and you can see one side of his mouth curl up as he speak in irony, in holy sarcasm, when asked, you see, whether the two kings should go out to war. And he says there, you see, in verse 14, when asked, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? And he said, go and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. And you can imagine him smiling there, you know, looking at them slyly. And the king knew that this Micaiah was poking fun at him. The king knew that Micaiah wasn't speaking the truth. You know, we know that Micaiah was deliberately humoring the king, because earlier, when he was warned to speak what the king liked to hear, Micaiah had already made his stand. Verse 13, Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak. So it was not a case of temporary fear and succumbing to the pressure. No, it was rather a deliberate act of speaking in irony. It has to be like that, because the king saw through straight away that Micaiah was not being serious and being, you know, simply just poking fun at him. So the king says in verse 15, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? You see? So he knew that Micaiah wasn't really being serious there. So what we are trying to say is that Micaiah's words weren't trusted, whatever he said, you see. The king had no respect for Micaiah as a prophet of God, of Jehovah. You see, he's basically a carnal man. He's feeding all these false prophets to put on such a show of religion. And all these prophets put on such pomp and show, you know, assuming such authority. And you can imagine all the people look up with them with eyes of, you know, idolizing them, adulating them. You see, you can imagine they look at them as though they were stars, you know. Those film stars are idolized by people, you see. And here, these people came, these people came in pomp, dressed in their gown, and coming in, you know, in procession, you know, before the two kings. And here was Micaiah. Who was Micaiah before them? Micaiah was probably dressed in ordinary rough dress, you see. And no gown, no pomp, no music for accompanying him. So who was Micaiah? Micaiah really was despised. Even before his appearance, he was spoken of by those people as someone whom they did not respect. You see? And again, you see, when faced with a situation like that today, you know, how would we react? You see? There are times when people have no respect for God. That's why they don't have respect for anything connected with God. See, they do not fear God anymore, therefore they do not fear the Word of God. And when they do not fear God, they do not fear the Word of God, what can you expect? They do not fear the servant of God, you see. And they postpone on preachers. They treat their pastor with disrespect, you see. And you see many churches going that direction. And it all boils down to this, that there is no respect for God, and therefore no fear of Him, you see. And preachers have to be very careful that we must continue to be faithful, you know, knowing that sinners will always react badly. They will always claim that we are very negative. The reason is because whatever is preached seems to get at them. Their conscience is burned every time the word is spoken. They think that they are being gotten at. They think the whole message is geared towards them. There's nobody else listening except them. That's what they think, you see. And everything that they hear is negative. They never hear the positive part, you see. And you see now how their own fears play upon them, their own suspicion plays upon them, and they tr- throw it back on others, saying, you know, you're suspicious, you're this, you're that, but they themselves are haunted by their own fears and suspicion. My late father used to tell me this story. He said, tell us, the children, this story, that this thief went to steal something and couldn't steal anything good and found this quali. And you know, in those days, quali is quite valued, because if you have a good quali, you fry good food. And up to today, very few people know how to treat a new quali. You know, there's a way of treating it. You know, you burn it hot and then you wipe oil on it or something like that, you know, and let it cool down and you do some certain treatment like that. Then later on, you see, if the food wouldn't stick and it will fry very well, you see. And he stole this quali, but you know, he didn't know that as he took the quali down, a key was tied to the handle of the quali. So as he ran, the key went clang, clang, clang. He thought that somebody was chasing after him. He ran. And he fell, you see. And he was caught, you see. So actually, he was fearing himself. It was the key that was clanging on the quali. So it always reminds me of that, that when people have a bad conscience, you see, they always think that everyone is after him, everyone is shooting at him, everyone is really against him, you see, and his negative thoughts become like that. And we know, therefore, that the nature of the human heart, the sinful human heart, is like that. Therefore, we can do nothing about the person until the Holy Spirit gives him repentance. Otherwise, you know, you can't speak reason with such people. And this is where the lesson to learn is that we must stand firm upon the truth and don't be easily swayed by people's reaction towards us. They may act fierce, they may despise you, they may not show any fear of God, but we know that that is what is expected of a sinful heart that has a guilty conscience. So understand this well. Learn to stand firmly on the truth. Don't be swayed or frightened by sinners. And thirdly, Micaiah was very much pressured. You see the tremendous pressure upon him when the king sent the messengers to him to say, speak what the king likes to hear. You see, Micaiah's response was, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak. Now, even though he was the only one predicting that disaster is coming, he has to speak it because it is the truth, you see. It is so easy for us to want to adjust the truth or minimize the truth a little, you see, or put it in some ways such that it does not come across as it should. So we want to please all parties such that we say things that become blunted and it actually does not accomplish the effect that it should have accomplished. Then later when questioned, we can say, but I did say what needs to be said, when actually you have modified what you have said. So some people are more prone to that than others. You see that them behaving in everyday life. When confronted with a problem, they are always hedging, justifying themselves. You see? Now, this is something that we have to learn if we want to be useful to the Lord. Don't easily succumb to pressure. Just because somebody shouts louder, then you become cowed and you begin to adjust your message or you begin to back down when you should have made a stand, you see. And another thing that pressured Micaiah was not only the fact that the messengers came from none other than the two kings, but it was also the fact that he was in the minority while the rest of the prophets, so-called, were in the majority. But Micaiah knew that the truth is never determined by the majority. The truth is revealed by God. And as long as it is revealed by God, it is the truth. A lot of people like to say that there are degrees of truth. And they like to say that each has our own opinion, our own views, you see. And today, a lot of people like to talk like that. And this is where Micaiah showed true courage in doing what was right, even though it was dangerous, and even though he feared. And I believe that he was a normal man like us, and being under such pressure. Remember, it was a dangerous time where the prophets of Jehovah were being slaughtered or being banished, and Obadiah had hidden 100 in a cave. So Micaiah was in a very dangerous situation and being summoned to appear before the two kings and in the public eye, you see, and he couldn't run away, you see. He was in danger. And being an ordinary man like us, he would have feared. So true courage is not the absence of fear. True courage is daring to do what is right even though you fear. And this is where we must admire Micaiah for having the courage to speak the truth even though he was in danger, even though he was fearful. And again, we are under such tremendous pressure today not to be dogmatic. And of course, some people, they are dogmatic in the wrong way. They are just difficult characters. They are prickly personalities. They can't say things nicely. Whenever you interact with them, they'll say something which might be true, but the way they say it is such that it pierces your heart. You know, menyakitkan hati orang all the time, you know. You see, not pleasant, that type of character, not edifying, you see. So I would advise that you avoid such people, because it's not edifying meeting with such people, you see. When we try to understand the person, oh, perhaps he's facing difficulty, perhaps he has some family problems, perhaps. But if so many times have gone past, and we see that that is actually the person's character, you know, there's no need to force ourselves to be with that person. Don't fear people saying, you know, you are not loving a fellow brother in Christ. It's simply not edifying meeting with some characters. Okay? But you see, what we are trying to say is rather that there is a proper place to be dogmatic, in the sense that if it is God's word, we have to say it. That God's word says this. What about God's word? Have you reckoned with God's word? Shouldn't we be listening to what God's word says? You see? So in that sense, it is right to be dogmatic. We must dare to say what God says, rather than hedge about simply because the majority have their own opinion and they seem to agree one with another. And you feel left out alone, you are the lone ranger compared to all the others. But if you are convinced that that is the teaching of the Bible, you must not succumb to pressure. What can men do to you, finally? The Lord Jesus Christ say, we are to fear God, not man. Men can destroy only your body, but God can destroy body and soul in hell. See? Now, if we do not have to fear being put to death, you see, why should we fear they do other things, such as threatening to harm our family, or threatening to destroy our career, or smear campaign to spoil our reputation, make life difficult for us in different ways. See, when the person or these people have gone too far, we may resort to just reporting them, using the civil authorities to deal with them. We don't have to give them the privilege of being treated as believers. Bring them to court, deal with them, let the police ransack them, bash them up, you see. But most of the time, all that is needed is just to ignore them. Ignore them. Because in the end, we fear God more than we fear man. So they can do only that much. So that is how Micaiah faced up to the pressure. And finally, we see Micaiah suffered for his faith. He was outnumbered by the false prophets. He was in the presence of two powerful kings. He was threatened to say what the king wanted to hear. He was humiliated for speaking the truth. And finally, he was taken to prison for uttering the truth boldly. Look at verse 27. The king says, starting from verse 25, then the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return in peace. In other words, punish him by giving him the bare minimum. Perhaps a slice of bread and a glass of water. That's all. See? So you see now, he suffered for the faith. It was already a difficult time. His ministry wasn't easy. Then he was summoned to appear before these two kings, confronted by 400 so-called prophets. See? Pressured to utter things that the king liked to hear. But you see, this man stood firm and was prepared to suffer even more. Thus far, he had suffered so much. Why not go the extra mile? You see, give the others, the people, the other cheek, you see. So he went all the way, and he was thrown into prison. What happened to him afterward, we do not know. But the question we would like to ask is, how would we have fared under a similar situation? Remember the string of events leading to his final imprisonment. He was already suffering from the beginning before he was summoned to the king. He was ministering in a very dangerous and difficult time. See, are you prepared to suffer in a situation like this? Others were not prepared. Then later to be summoned to the court, then under pressure by the king, under pressure before these false prophets, you see, and then the exchanges that took place. See, are you prepared? See. It's easy for us to say or point out others' weaknesses. It would be better if we ask ourselves whether we can stand under a similar situation. Our concern is first for ourselves, that we may be able to stand. And then our concern is for our own people, our children, that they may be able to stand. Our church members, that they will be able to stand. You see? Now, we ask, is there anything we can do that we may be able to stand like Micaiah? I would say there is a need for us to be well grounded in God's word. That will bring us extra trouble because people don't like any dogmatism of the right kind. Because when you know the word, you declare God's word, and people don't like it, you see, because they are not sure, whereas you are sure. See, they don't like it. But it makes us more useful in the Lord's service, and it makes us more sure when trouble comes. And then be committed to the Lord, to His cause, to His word, to His church, you see. And finally, to train habitually to be faithful. That means before trouble comes, you are learning faithfulness every day, even in small things, you see. When you're tempted to do things slightly out of what is right, choose to do what is right. Learn from your experiences of the past when you have done wrong. You know, each time you stray away from the Lord or His word, you discover more problem comes. Sometimes you think, it's just a small thing, and for the sake of others even, you see, more trouble comes. Hi-yo, you know, why don't we learn, you see? Even in small things, be faithful to the Lord, and the Lord will bless us accordingly. Then it is as we train ourselves to be faithful in small things that God can entrust us with bigger things. He who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. So we have seen that Micaiah was isolated, he was despised, he was pressured, he suffered for his faith. And yet he stood faithful all the way to the end. In the day of great apostasy, who among us will remain faithful? Remember that only a remnant will be saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 7:21-23, on the last day many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have I not done this in your name, done that in your name? But the Lord is going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. So let us trust in the Lord and learn to be faithful, even in our everyday life.